Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Today we talk about democracy in India. Dr. Chandrahar Dwivedi is a distinguished professor emeritus at South Dakota State University. You can hear his program at the South Dakota World Affairs Council tonight, 7 p.m., in the new Founders Recital Hall on the SDSU campus. Dr. Dwivedi lived in Brookings for more than 30 years. He now makes his home in Sioux Falls. He's credited with building South Dakota State University's formidable Pharmaceutical Sciences Department. He was born in India and came to the U.S. in 1973. He was recently honored with India's National Glory Award from the India International Friendship Society. He's also a Hindu priest, and he joined In the Moment before to talk about Hinduism. You can find that conversation on our website at listen.stpb.org. The political landscape in India is shifting. Welcome. Thank you for being here with us in the STPB Sioux Falls studios. Welcome back.
Thank you, Lodi. Good morning.
All right.
Where appreciate the opportunity.
So one of the things this summer with the recent election in India, for perspective, was just what a huge exercise in democracy this is. How many people have to vote, like 900 million,
people,
eligible voters in India, and a pretty high voter turnout.
Turnout, yeah. That's quite remarkable, you know, in the country like India. About 60% of the population is rural, where access to technology is very limited, but still, you know, turnout is great.
So part of, how do they make that happen? They come to you in India. They sort of bring the voting booth to everyone. Like, you're not supposed to travel for more than about, you know, 2 miles.
Yeah.
I read this on NPR.
Yeah.
So they're talking about this, the massive machinery that has to happen.
Unlike here, election throughout the country, one day, but there they have a, you know, different days. It takes about a month to have elections, so they start planning early on. So as you could see, you know, it takes a month to get the election done.
Right.
And it's a very slow process.
Right. So in your presentation, where are you going to begin when you talk about democracy in India? You're going to go back to British rule and independence?
Yeah, you know, it was a quite distinct pleasure for all of us. In fact, when India became independent, I was not born. I was born a year after.
Yeah.
So with 200 years British rule, people were overwhelmed with the independence. But after independence, you know, it was not easy. Country was divided, and during the division, a lot of turmoil, and approximately 1 million people died. And especially the conflict between Hindu and Muslim, partly because of the separation of Pakistan. And during that time, Mahatma Gandhi played a major role to stop the bloodshed. And unfortunately, because of his intervening in the conflict, resolving it, he was assassinated.
Right.
And the assassination was done by an organization which is known as RSS, Rashtriya Swayam Sevak Sangh. Name sounds great, you know, it's like a volunteer organization for country. But it consists of extremist Hindus who believe, you know, India should be a Hindu country. Mm-hmm. But after independence, Mahatma Gandhi and other leaders like Nehru and others, they wanted India as a secular country. So that was the conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually the extremist group did not like it. They wanted independence from British, but they wanted Hindu India. But the leaders at that time, I really admire them, you know, they were way ahead. Even India, 80% Hindus.
Right.
80%
Hindus.
But the leaders always visioned that India is a secular country. And I give credit to our forefathers and leaders, you know, how they visioned, and that's how we are world's largest democracy in country,
right.
In the world.
The world's largest democracy.
In the world.
And Mahatma Gandhi, he wanted this secular India? Because what did he say about that? Why did he?
He said, "We are children of the God. Mm. It doesn't matter who we are. We are all the same. So our country should welcome and encourage them to contribute to the country equally. It doesn't matter whether you are Hindu, whether you are Muslim or Christian or Sikh." So that was his thought. And extremely didn't like it. And they thought, you know, he favored the Muslims. And they assassinated him.
Tell us about the...
Now coming back to, yeah. It relates to modern history.
Right, yeah.
So that group, RSS, later on developed a political wing.
Sure.
And the political wing was named as Janasangh, which is now named as Bharatiya Janata Party. So BJP, and our current prime minister belongs to that group. So that's a really concern at this time that, you know, our current prime minister belongs to an extremist group, and that group assassinated Mahatma Gandhi, and there is a danger of country may go towards Hindu nationalism.
How long has this current prime minister been in power? This is a fairly long stretch.
This is second term. So it's hard to go in 15 minutes, you know, how Indian democracy right. works. So he got selected in 2015. And that time, you know, before him, two term of the Congress government, and Dr. Manmohan Singh was the prime minister. Mm-hmm. So there's always, you know, incumbency factor. When you have been power for 10 years, there are a lot of things happens, and, you know, people think we need a change. And that's how his party came into power. Even, as I said, you know, India has 80% Hindus, but even 2014, his party got only 31% of the votes.
Okay.
So even all Hindus do not subscribe to the Hindu nationalism.
Right.
So when he got into power, he is great showman. He knows how to sell himself. And he comes with the slogans. And during his first term as prime minister, he will travel internationally and meet international leaders. And he has typical hug. For that he, and that gives an image in India that he had capability to be a good friend with the international leaders, and he is willing to serve India and solve all the problems. And of course, he had a lot of pressure from his group to take country to the Hindu nationalism. But right. unfortunately, he was figuring out if he does, he will be out. So he did not take any major steps towards the Hindu nationalism. That's why his base is not even very happy with him, but
sure.
they always think it's better to have someone who belongs to us rather than having a stranger. So his first five-year term was not really great. He has a number of the flagship program. Most of them did not succeed very well. But he's, as I said, he's a very good salesperson. His billboards and all over the country, every block, everywhere. So he sells himself very good. And he changes his name because he always connects to the poor people that I am coming from a poor family because my father was a tea vendor. And then, you know, if he goes to a bigger group, then there's an Indian word, chokidar. Chokidar means guard. I'm a poor man and I'm guarding this country. So he just changes right. different names.
He knows his audience.
Audience.
And
he connects with
directly
them. So that's one great thing with him. He yeah. connects with the audience and great showman.
Yeah. So with 80% Hindus, India still has an incredibly strong Muslim minority.
Yeah, it's about 14% are Muslims.
Yes.
And about, 6% others, Christians and Buddhists and others.
How have they been responding to his the mandate for him to stay and, you know, really have even more influence?
No, in fact, you know, Muslims are not really, since they are a small minority, and you do not see much, you know, coming from the minority, because I hate to say that most of the Muslims are not well educated. So they, I'm saying most, not all. So mostly, you know, they are busy in their own thing. Sometimes they get exploited by their leaders. And so, I mean, they do not like where country is going, but they do not have a major vice, political vice. And their leadership is weak. But one good thing I would say in this respect, there's a lot of integration happening. Hindus are marrying non-Hindus. And especially, I would mention the Bollywood. In Bollywood, they are all very integrated. And in India masses, Bollywood has a tremendous power.
Really?
I think Hollywood doesn't have that much power here.
Right, yeah.
But there, Bollywood has much power.
So influence of the arts.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So Bollywood, a lot of integration. And similarly, the political leaders, and I would say educated intellectuals, there are a lot of integrations, you know, Hindu-Muslim weddings and Hindu-non-Hindu weddings. Mm. I think that group is very strong. And they will do whatever it takes to stop him.
Right.
And again, I said, you know, he, in 2014, he got 31% of votes. And of course, he increased his percentage in 2019, now 37%. But still, you could see out of 80% Hindus, he's getting only 37% vote. Mm-hmm. So majority of the Hindus do not subscribe to Hindu nationalism. So I think, as it has happened in India earlier, in 1975, when Indira Gandhi was prime minister, she was accused of some, you know, election frauds. Mm-hmm. And she was asked by court to resign. But during the time, rather than resigning, she had a suspension of civil liberties. She used the word emergency. And the emergency was for almost 2 years. Very similar situation. No civic liberties. All the opposition leaders were in the jail. And you cannot express yourself. Very similar, you know, autocratic right. And dictatorial. But the country got together and they ousted him in 2 years. Yeah. So I think if a situation comes like this, I'm pretty hopeful, you know, the country will come together and will block the Hindu nationalism.
And there are people who, I mean, that's a fairly recent memory for many
Indians,
people.
They
remember that time. They remember what happened, and they have a sense of how to move forward.
Yeah. Indians are, even, I would say literacy is improving, but still, a large majority are not very well educated.
Yeah.
But they are very conscious about their civil liberties. People like to talk. People will get together at, like here at coffee house, we call it, you know, tea stalls. People come, chat, and, you know, so that's one thing. If that's stopped, people don't take it well and they react. And that's how happened during the Mrs. Indira Gandhi's time. So,
are you still seeing the legacy of Mahatma Gandhi?
Oh, yes.
In some of those conversations, just the influence and the power that he had is still something people are,
admire.
They have not forgotten.
They admire. Yeah. I think as time goes on, he is admired much more than what people were admiring him when, you know, he was assassinated. So his legacy is, you know, lifelong. For every Indian, and not only Indian, you know, you go anywhere in the world, you know, if they know, they know Mahatma Gandhi.
Yeah, right. He studied in American schools.
And he was a really true Mahatma. You know, Mahatma is a Sanskrit word, means great soul.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
I should know that, but now I do.
So his family, he didn't do anything for his family. His family, they are, you know, ordinary citizens. I think if I know, a couple of his grandchildren are in the United States. And people do not know even that they are related to, you know, Mahatma Gandhi. So, so he was thinking entire world is his family. So, and lot of people, you know, when you grow up and see his views, you admire him. I don't know whether you had time to read his book, My Experiment with the Truth. That's his biography. I have a down moment, I read the book. I must have read that book more than 100 times. And every time, it gives me a new inspiration.
Something new to read. Yeah. Well, this is an inspiring conversation as well. What's it like for you, before I let you go, to sort of watch democracy from your country of the United States and watch democracy from the country of your birth at the same time, really go through challenges and...
Well, I hate to be... I think both countries, you know, United States and India, are going through this similar turbulence. And I'm hoping, you know, as my adopted country, U.S., is struggling through certain issues, and I have strong confidence, you know, will come out of this time. And similarly, I'm quite hopeful, you know, India will have the similar experience.
Learn more at the South Dakota World Affairs Council, hosting a program by Dr. Chandra Hadavati titled Democracy in India, an Overview. That's 7 p.m. tonight in the New Founders Recital Hall within the Oscar Larson Building at the SDSU campus. Thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you very
much. Come back anytime.
Yeah, thanks a lot. So appreciate it.